Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon, copyright 2012. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact deacons at christchurchbranchcove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
As you remain standing, please give attention to the reading of God's Word from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, beginning at the 15th verse. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we do pray that you would give us grace to be discerning, to be able to discern good fruit and bad fruit, and Father, that we would not be those who pay you lip service, but seek to surrender to your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I asked the congregation if you would pass on to me questions that you may have so I could take some of the Lord's Day messages and address some of the questions or issues that you would like to see addressed, whether they're theological or practical or cultural in nature. And I still welcome those. I've received a few, and today's sermon is dealing with one of those that I received regarding the impact of technology on our families. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about technology, although the word itself is not in the Bible. It does come from a Greek word, though, techne, meaning art or skill, and logos, of course, meaning word or discourse or a study of a particular body of knowledge. And so technology, we find in the dictionary, is defined as the branch of knowledge that deals with the creation and use of technical means and their interrelation with life, society, and the environment, drawing upon such subjects as industrial arts, engineering, applied science, and pure science. Another definition says the sum of the ways in which social groups provide themselves with the material objects of their civilization. Now, I tend to think that those definitions are a little too narrow, a little too restrictive, because they tend to focus on the hard sciences and on material objects, where I think technology can also be applied in a lot of what we might consider the liberal arts. For instance, music has its own technology related to it, its own study of physics and sound and instrumentation and all those kind of things, as well as the visual arts has its own body of knowledge. And so I would say that maybe a shorter or more concise and broad definition of technology is a body of knowledge available to a group of people to pursue goals and desires. And so I want you to ask yourself, you know, where does technology or the concept of technology first appear in the Bible? And you might say, well, why don't we just look up the words art or skill that the Greek word techne means. And if you do so, you'll find one of the first places that we see art and skill in the scriptures is in Exodus, and it's related to the building and adorning of the temple and the priesthood in the days of Moses. But you know, technology didn't just start there. Of course, the Exodus is after the great technological advancements of Egypt. Even when Joseph went down to Egypt, it was already a technically advanced society and civilization. So you could go back maybe even further to the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, where for the first time, it records in Scripture anyway, that they wanted to make brick for stone and use bitumen for mortar. And so they were taking this knowledge that they had to not just quarry stones, but hey, let's make our own bricks. Let's figure out how to make these and manufacture these so they can be the same size and we can build this tower up into heaven faster. It was perhaps the first pyramid that was ever built. But even before the Tower of Babel was the flood and the building of an ark, something that had never been done before, and would have required a tremendous amount of knowledge, tremendous amount of skill and tools to be able to pull something like that off. Considering the size and the task that the ark had to do. But even before that, we see in Cain's descendants in Genesis chapter 4, two of his descendants, Jabal and Jubal, apparently they got kind of creative in naming their children like we see today, but Jabal was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock, and Jubal was the father of those who played the lyre and the pipe. And so if Jabal and Jubal were born in Alabama, Jabal would have gone to Auburn, and Jubal perhaps would have gone to Samford, because they had these new different kinds of bents that they were interested in, and they developed a technology, a body of knowledge related to the desires and goals they wanted to pursue. But I believe the first implication of technology really comes in Genesis chapter 1. It comes in the same breath in which God creates man. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." You see, the whole concept of dominion taking requires technology. It requires that we acquire knowledge in order to bring about a desired goal of dominion taking, bringing everything under the lordship of Christ. That was Adam's first task. That was his major task. And technology and multiplying, having children, both were a part of that. And so technology in and of itself is not wrong, it's not bad. God, matter of fact, it's commanded. It's commanded to us to acquire knowledge, to acquire understanding, to acquire wisdom, and how to bring everything under the lordship of Christ. And so I want us to talk this morning about technology and how it impacts our family, but not just about technology. I also want to talk a little bit about entertainment, because the two of these are very intertwined together. It seems like our technology, in some sense of communication and whatnot, is driven by entertainment, and entertainment is also driven by technology. The latest trends are to have video available to you wherever you are at any time on any device. That is the stated goal. But it should be a topic of concern for us in how that technology is used. And parents today are very concerned about the encroachment of this technology into the lives of their children. And so this morning I want to primarily speak to the younger generation among us on this topic of technology and entertainment. And there are two things I want to address related to the passage that we read, and that is discernment and daring. So first of all, let's look at discernment. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7 a warning here. It's a warning against deception. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." You see, there are those in our culture that have prophetic voices that speak through music, that speak through videos, and they may sound amazing and it may look incredible, but in the end, it bites like a wild dog. And this is where your parents have a concern, is that you will be discerning and examining the fruit of the messages that you are receiving in these prophetic voices. But the nature of fruit is that it's not always disclosed. We don't see fruit immediately. It takes a while for that plant or tree to grow up and to come to the place where the fruit comes to light and is born and is made plain to everyone. So the problem is, young people may not be discerning enough to understand where this is going. And that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. It's written to the younger generation. We see over and over, my son, you know, listen to the voice of your father and listen to the voice of your mother, because we want to teach you where this is headed. And so the first thing I'm encouraged young people is to listen to the voice of those who are older and wiser, and that would be the first thing you got to reject about the prophetic voices, that the youth know more than those who are before them. And what we see is entertainment is all about storytelling. And there are really only two kinds of stories that are out there. There's the redemptive story that says everything is being brought under the lordship of Christ. And that's the story that we are part of and that we want to be part of. And then there's the satanic lie that you are your own God and you can do as you very well please. That is the message that we get in a good bit of prophetic voices of our entertainment industry. And so the redemptive story is that you don't belong to yourself. That's what redemption is all about. You're purchased out of the kingdom of darkness, and you've been brought into the kingdom of light. You belong to Christ. And so there are some questions that you need to ask about the technology that you interact with and the entertainment that you consume. You need to ask yourself, first of all, does this draw me closer to the throne of grace? You see, there's an incredible amount of information that is out there on the internet and available to you at your fingertips. But it doesn't mean that all this information is necessarily for your good or your benefit. And even as you're perusing the news, you can get overwhelmed by the amount of information that streams your way. And you can take one of two choices. You can just feel overwhelmed and depressed and anxious about this, or it can motivate you to go to the throne of grace and plead, even as we are doing this morning, on behalf of a wayward and perverse generation. God's word draws us to the throne of grace. When we are in God's word, it just causes us to come to the end of ourselves and realize that we are helpless apart from Him. God's word is the motivator to draw near to God's throne of grace and to ask for the things that we need in our times of need. To ask not only for ourselves, but on behalf of our culture. And so ask yourself, first of all, how is your time spent compared to spending time in God's word versus spending time in entertainment? Is it even anywhere near being close? And by the way, the technology today has brought God's word so much closer to us. One of the things I love to do with the technology that I have is even going to sleep listening to Scripture. I in particular love to go to sleep listening to Revelation 4 and 5 that describes the throne of grace, that describes what John saw in heaven when he was taken up in the Spirit, when he saw the Father, the Eternal One on the throne, and Jesus, the Lamb of God, and the Holy Spirit all together, and the whole company of heaven worshiping and bowing down and crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You know, John Chrysostom would have the book of Romans read to him every week. You can do that with your devices and just let it play. Let it saturate your mind and your soul. And let God's word draw you to the throne of heaven. Well, also, does this technology and entertainment cause you to grow in holiness? As it says in the epistles, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Does the technology and entertainment draw you closer to the throne of grace or push you away? Secondly, does this advance Christ's lordship over all the earth? You ought to ask yourself, is the way that you spend your time, is it purposeful? Is it making a difference in the world? Is it bringing things under the lordship of Christ? And our technology can do that in tremendous ways. We have the ability to take God's word across nations. I heard that Facebook was even developing an unmanned airplane, to be able to take the internet to places that had never been able to reach before. We need to hop on that as the Christians hopped on the Roman roads and carried the gospel all over Europe. And thirdly, does this technology and entertainment that you consume build up the community of God's people, or does it tear it down? How are you using social media? It grieves me to see so much of the gossip and backbiting and castrating that happens among Christians on social media. And we need to not think just because we're somewhat anonymous behind a computer and we're not seeing the person face to face that God's ethics applying to the tongue doesn't apply to social media, because it does. God doesn't need social media to remind us in the day of judgment that we will be judged by every word we say. But let me tell you, we will be. God would have you be discerning about your use of technology and your consumption of entertainment. But let me also say to you, to use it for the kingdom of God and in a daring way, be bold with that which Christ has given us in our day. Dare to use technology to advance His kingdom and to bring everything under His lordship. And already I see you doing this as you're using technology to build community, and I applaud you for that and commend you for that, for having things like fundraiser balls, recreational events. We need to develop community among the young people who are Christian to be able to stand against the onslaught of the culture. I know some of you may think that the only text messages I used to send in my day were smoke signals, but I will tell you, we did have the rotary dial phone. And when we wanted to get together, we would dial one number after another, and finally we would call somebody on the other end, and we'd tell them, hey, meet us there, and could you call Joe or Sally? And then we'd make another call. By the time we finished that call, you guys have already sent out to 100 people, hey, meet together at the rally. We're going to do something very important. So you can use technology for the good of the kingdom. We have another rally at the Planned Parenthood Clinic to call for its closing and shutting down, an investigation by the Attorney General coming up on August 22nd. Use that with your networks as a way to get the word out for the young people to stand against this evil in our day. Band together and make a difference. You can collaborate together to expose the evils of this generation. Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible. And so you have an opportunity to expose the evils of child sacrifice, of sexual slavery, and of immorality and perversion in our day. Now, the cultural elites of the mainstream don't want this. They're hoping that you, like the rest of the generation, will drink the humanist propaganda Kool-Aid and have enough attention span of a music video. But you got to show them that they're wrong. That you're going to stand up for justice, and that you're going to stand up for biblical ethics and for the lordship of Christ over everything in our culture. And that you're not going away, and that you're going to press it to the halls of Congress. You can do this with the technology that's available to you. We didn't have that. And so I encourage you to go after the funding. You need to be studying and looking at what is being funded and go after to cut off the funding. Let's start with Planned Parenthood. You know, David Daladian is only 26 when he rocked the abortion industry with these videos that have come out about Planned Parenthood. Now, when I was about his age, we were doing rescues and we were going to jail because we were saying that they're killing babies in there. But we barely made a speed bump in the relentless pursuit of child sacrifices in our nation. But it's almost single-handedly, he and a few friends exposed the desperately wicked heart of Planned Parenthood. And he did it with technology. Now the California courts are placing a temporary restraining order against his Center for Medical Progress, saying that he can't release any more of these videos. But I thought we had something called freedom of the press. I thought we had something, a constitutional right, the Bill of Rights, that guaranteed freedom of the press. I don't see CNN having temporary restraining rights. I don't see MSNBC having temporary restraining orders. And even if Planned Parenthood wants to hide behind the label research, I'll remind you that the Nazis did all kinds of bizarre and cruel things to Jews, Christians, and other undesirables under the label of research. And just because they call it research doesn't mean that it's right or justifies defying biblical ethics. You can't kill babies and cut out their organs without selling your soul to the devil. And that's what they've done. And that's what they want America to do. But the Aztec elites were doing the same thing in South America, cutting out the hearts of victims that they were sacrificing until the Christians came to the continent and put an end to it. Now, I know you didn't ask to be born into a nation that practices child sacrifices or that is the largest promoter of sodomy in the world, but here you are. And the baton is passed to you. I'm going to tell you, just like another man told a younger generation, Mordecai said to his adopted daughter, Esther, who was struggling with a decision of civil disobedience that would cost her or could possibly cost her her life. And he said to her, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I know you didn't ask for this, but the mantle has been laid upon you. And today is the day of choosing. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And there are many churches out there saying, "Lord, Lord," who are promoting the same evils and abominations that God has decried will be punished. But now is the time to act. Today is the day of choosing who is on the Lord's side. Let us pray. Holy, gracious Father, we do come before you, praying that you would give grace and strength to this generation, that you would use them in a powerful way, just as you used the generation that went in with Joshua into the promised land. Father, I pray that you would use this generation to take back our nation. Father, to rebuild the places that have been torn down, to return a soul to a heartless and unmerciful people. Father, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon them. And I pray that they might shine as lights in a wicked and perverse generation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church, Branch Cove.org.